Joshua 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible and these encouraging words. Lord, as you charged Joshua after the death of Moses, and Lord, as we learn from this portion of Scripture, and as we focus tonight on the importance of the Word of God, I pray that you would help us to come up, each and every one in here, with a very clear, a very Holy Spirit-led, divine plan concerning the Bible and where it's going to fit into this next year. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to understand the importance of just including the Word of God in every aspect of our life. Use the Bible study. Bless the Master's Club. Lord, all that's going on, please anoint it tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The last Sunday night in November, I brought a message entitled, basically, Dangers of December, or you might I might have called it How to Have a Successful December. And one of the points that I made was that I believe that December is a very, very important month as far as laying groundwork and making preparation for a successful new year. And so I want to take the four Wednesday nights, unless the Lord were to change my mind or redirect me, I'd like to take the four Wednesday nights in the month of December, and I'm going to just cover four subjects. Now, all of these aren't all of the areas that we ought to prepare for, and these aren't all of the things that maybe are important in this preparation procedure, this laying of the groundwork during the month of December. But I do feel like the Lord has guided me to four very specific subjects. And so I'm going to teach a Bible study tonight, and then next Wednesday, and the next, the four Wednesday nights of December, that I hope will just help you to prepare in at least four areas of your life to have a successful new year. Anybody praying for a bad new year? I'm not. I'd like it to be a good year. And, you know, a lot of times we wish for something, but we don't work for it to happen. And, you know, how many of you have figured out that there's no Aladdin's lamp? There's no genies, and a lot of the time that we sit around wishing for something to be a certain way, I think that if we would just get into the Word of God and say, what do I have to do, or what does the Bible say to do to help it to be that way, then that is, of course, time well spent. Tonight I want to teach on this subject, your Bible and the new year. Your Bible in the new year. As I prayed, Lord, what four areas would you have me maybe give some encouragement, some motivation, some teaching on? The first thought that I had as I reached for the Bible to begin to study and to think was, of course, the importance of the Word of God. And, you know, it's almost impossible to have a good new year, a successful new year, outside of an interaction with the Bible on just a regular basis. If you haven't figured this out, If you think you're going to charge into life and be a success and ignore Bible principles, Bible commands, principles, precepts, you're going to find out real quick it just doesn't work very well. And the Bible says that. Notice the instruction to Joshua here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do. I love that little phrase, that thou mayest observe to do, according to all that is written therein, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And the Bible, of course, is linked to success. It's linked to God's blessing and his willingness to cause our way to be prosperous. And so, folks, listen to me. If you want to make any decision concerning the new year, I think maybe we ought to make a recommitment and a rededication to our relationship with the Word of God. Now, before you can fix something, you got to recognize whether or not it's broken. And I think an honest evaluation of the previous year is in order here. This is something that you need to do between you and the Lord. But answer this question, please, privately in your heart. Did you have a good, prosperous, thriving relationship with the Bible in 2010? And let me ask you this. If you don't change anything, do you think it's just automatically going to happen in 2011? And so I want to just give you some very basic but good, solid material that encourage you to maybe work at making 2011 for you individually. Maybe it'll be for you the year of the Bible, the year of the Bible. Let me give you several things. Number one, plan now. I'm talking about in December. Plan now and prepare and come up with a plan to read your Bible every single day. Every single day. Now let me just give you some basic principles that will help you to be successful at this. Number one, have a time every day to read your Bible. Have a time every day to read your Bible. Now, if you don't set a time, a specific time where you do this, do it at the same time basically every day, you're probably not going to do it faithfully. You're probably not going to. Have you found out that if you just say, I'll tell you what, I don't have this plan for today, but when I have extra time today, I'm going to do this. How many times does it get done? Well, I don't know how your life works, but in my life, it hardly ever gets done. So what I have to do is I have to schedule it. I have to make sure that it's in my schedule. Now, I'm going to encourage you to read your Bible in the morning. You say, preacher, the way my schedule is, I know we've got third shift guys, second shift guys. I understand sometimes your morning's an afternoon or your morning can be an evening. Or, I mean, it's amazing some of the, and do what works for you. But there is some Bible principle and a lot of Bible scriptures that point to the importance of meeting the Lord in the morning. And, if you take and start the day in the Word of God, so I would schedule your reading time in the morning if at all possible, but have a time every day to read your Bible. Number two, have a place every day to read your Bible. You know, I think it ought to be at the same time and the same place approximately. You ought to have a place where you go. You ought to have a time that you go there. And the purpose of that is just to spend some time reading the Word of God. Now, where's that going to be? If you're not thinking, you're going to not have a successful year. If you're not thinking, if you're not planning right now, it's not going to change. It's going to stay the same. You're going to be living a Bible-less existence for another year, and it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you success. It's going to cost you prospering. And so, are you thinking about this? What time am I going to read the Bible every day, and where am I going to go to read the Bible every day? Now, keep that Bible at that place. You see, sometimes we have the time, we have the place, but guess what? When we show up there, we don't have the Bible. I think you ought to have a devotional Bible. I would, and this is what I do. I have a Bible that is for one purpose and one purpose only. It stays beside my recliner because that way when I show up there every morning, at that place, at that time, my Bible's there waiting for me. And if you don't, you say, well, I'm going to use the Bible that I carry to church, or I'm going to use... You ever figured out how many different places that Bible can end up? It's just absolutely amazing. And you don't intend not to, but that's why I've just said, you know what, I have, and I've got a lot of Bibles, because I don't take this wrong, because I keep a Bible in the car, but I'm lousy at transporting a Bible from one place to another, and from another place to another. It's just better for me to leave them everywhere. And so I've got designated Bibles. I got my devotional Bible. I've got my study Bible. I use a Bible to study in my office that never leaves my office. I've got a preaching Bible. I've got soul winning New Testament strategically located in every possible way. One of the days we had to figure out how many soul winning New Testaments I own. Because I have a system that I use. Not really a system. It's just a result of my confused life. But I have a lot of them. And so, because I'm always looking for a New Testament, and it's never where I needed it, so I just decided to buy a case of them one day, write my name in all of them, and scatter them everywhere. But I start with a huge stack of them in the church here, and then I grab one when I'm going soul winning, and I stick it in my pocket, and then it ends up at the house when I empty my pockets. And the next time I'm at church, guess where it's at? It's at the house. So I start up with like a stack here like this, and it slowly diminishes. But the stack at home slowly grows. And then when I get down to where I've only got a couple, I bring the stack from the house. Are you getting this? Because, boy, you can learn a lot here. You can. You can learn an awful lot here. I'm not sure all that you should learn, but that's just how it works for me. So, so keep your Bible there. A time, a place, a devotional Bible. It's there. That's what you use it for. This is where I'm going to read my Bible every day. Have a plan for reading your Bible. Now, what I mean by that is set a goal and have a plan. And there's so many different ways to do it. You can get Bible reading charts. And if you'd like a through the Bible in a year Bible reading chart, you know what? Honestly, you could type that in and you can download it online. If you don't have access to that, you want one, then I can get you one, which means I'll ask my wife to find one for you. And but if you want to use a Bible reading chart, you do a Bible reading chart. I think I've mentioned several times, if you just take your devotional Bible and you count the number of pages in it, and you divide it by 365, and you figure out how many pages a day that you need to read. I just read 5 a day. If I read 5 in a Scofield Reference Bible, if I read 5 pages a day, I can read through the Old Testament, the New Testament, then the New Testament a second time. I can do that in a calendar year. And that's what I've done, chosen to do probably for several years. I don't know, probably the last 5 or 6 years, that's how I've done it. My morning devotions is I just, me and Cheryl get up, and then I make coffee. I go out and feed the dogs, and then I come back in, pour the coffee, and I sit down. First thing me and her does is that we do it together. I mean, she's doing her devotion, I'm doing mine, but we're in the same room together. And I get awake. I get up, shower, get dressed, go outside, feed the dogs. Listen, if I woke up and didn't have coffee and didn't get myself awake and tried to read the Bible, I'm sure there's some wonderful things in this book, but I would never find them, never get them, because I'm not a real morning person. I got to get myself up, moving, and awake. So do whatever works for you. One of the things that has been really helpful for me too, and because it is easy. How many of you have set out to read the Bible and all of a sudden you realize that your eyes have scanned an entire page and you have no idea what you read? Come on, I'm not the only one, right? And you're just kind of like, now how do I do that? How can I read and not read? Because your eyes went over every line, but your mind's somewhere else. Now, one of the things that helps me tremendously is if you'll keep a 3x5 card in your devotional Bible, that will mark your place and just move it every 5 pages. And then if you'll read with an ink pen in your hand. And what I also do is I use the 3x5 card and I scroll down, and it helps me to keep focus on the verses. And plus, before I read, I pray one simple prayer before I read. This isn't my prayer time, but I do read one prayer before, or pray a prayer before I say, Lord, I'm going to read the Bible. Please show me something. Share something with me. Give me something that I need to see today. Very simple prayer. I want to get the Holy Spirit engaged in my Bible reading process. I've got this to help keep my attention, keep my eyes going and absorbing a line at a time. And then I keep an ink pen. Because, and if you have a problem with marking in your Bible, I'm not going to fuss with you. Don't fuss with me that I don't have a problem with it. But I like underlining in my Bible. And so a lot of times when God does answer my prayer and show me a verse or speaks to me through a verse, or I get a little bit of maybe a sermon idea out of a verse or just an answer to something I've been praying about, I underline that. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to keep my attention engaged. Because, folks, the human mind is an amazing thing, and it's amazing how Satan can work so hard to distract us. Isn't it interesting? You can read the newspaper and your mind doesn't wander off. You know, think of all the things that you can read, and that usually doesn't happen. Why does it happen when you're trying to read the Bible? Because the devil doesn't want you to get anything out of this book. And so you have to just, on purpose, ask the Holy Spirit's help, on purpose focus your attention, on purpose use some tools that will keep your concentration and keep you looking for something. So I like a 3x5 card, and I like an ink pen in my hand, and then I mark, and I thank the Lord after I get done as far as Him showing me and answering my prayer and sharing some things for me, the Bible. It doesn't take a long time. If you read 5 pages a day, and I know everybody's rate of reading, speed reading, differs a little, but if you were to read it out loud, pulpit speed, 5 pages a day, 5 pages out loud, honestly, somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes is all the time it's going to take you, and that is time well spent. You say, preacher, I just haven't been in the habit of doing that. How'd last year go? Come on, let's be honest. How'd last year go? Could it have gone better? And see, here's a great secret that Joshua gives us as far as just giving, reminding us of the importance of reading and meditating on the Word of God. So number one, plan now to read your Bible every day. Number two, plan now to hear the Bible preached at every service. Plan now to hear the Bible preached at every service. Now, again, it's amazing the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by, not by reading, by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. We study in 1 Corinthians how the Bible tells us that God uses preaching to display the power of God. Now, listen, one of the things that you want to do if you're going to have a successful year and you're going to include the Bible and make it kind of the year of the Bible for you, your Bible in the new year, is be consistent as much as you're possible, as it possible for you to do. Be consistent to come and hear the Word of God preached. Now, let me just say, this is a great time of year to recommit to being faithful to in your church attendance. It's just a great time. Listen, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying December's a great time to just say, you know what? Maybe I've allowed myself some in the past year to just not really be as faithful as I honestly could have been. We're not doing that anymore, not at our house. We're going to rededicate ourselves to this matter of faithful church attendance. So be here. You can't hear the Bible preached if you're not here. One of the things that I have kind of as a policy, I'll sometimes have people that won't faithfully attend church, but they want then me to counsel them. And one of the policies that I just have is, you know what? Before I will counsel you, then you need to be faithful just to come hear the Bible preached. You know, most of the people in this room that faithfully come and hear me week in and week out hardly ever ask for counsel. You know, have you figured out that most of the questions that you kind of come up with, God has a way of answering it through the preaching of the Bible? And from time to time, of course, you know, sometimes even folks that never miss a service will sometimes need some biblical counsel. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, the folks that come all the time, they're pretty low maintenance. A lot of times it's the folks that aren't here. I can't tell you how many times somebody's walked in who does not faithfully attend, want counsel, ask a question that I'd answered in a sermon just within the few weeks, and had they been there, they would have got the answer. And again, I'm not talking about somebody who can't come. I'm talking about somebody who just chooses not to come. Now listen, so I think to myself, now wait a minute, if you want me to take an extra night and come here and meet with you, and you won't even come the nights that I'm already here, the best counseling that you can get is from the pulpit through Bible preaching. And so, again, I'm going to be mean about it, but that's one of the things I challenge them on. You know, if you're asking for extra time, you need to give extra time to just come and hear the Bible preached. So recommit to faithfully attending the house of the Lord. Let me just have you look at this. Those of you that faithfully attend, ask the Lord to help you to reconstruct your attitude towards preaching. One of the things that if we're not careful, even with those that come all of the time, is we may come and set under preaching, but that doesn't mean that we're maximizing what God wants us to get out of preaching. And so I think sometimes we go to December, we say, you know what? I have been here faithfully to hear the preaching of God's word, but maybe over the course of the year, we've just gotten a little too used to it. We just kind of come, we set, we put in our time, but we're not really coming asking God and hungry for something and wanting to learn and wanting for the Holy Spirit to teach us something. If we're not careful, we just kind of get into a relaxed, casual attitude towards the preaching of the Bible. So recommit to be here, and then also put under examination your attitude towards the preaching of God's word. And just say, you know what, in 2011, I want to have a successful year, and I want to take a look at my relationship to the word of God. So one of the things I want to do is I want to come to church and set with a heightened expectation of what the Lord's going to do through the preaching of the word of God. And so, get spiritually tuned up. Get spiritually ready. Prepare your heart for it. I want to say this, and I've taught you this before, but, you know, most Baptist preachers preach start a sermon the same way. We have you turn in your Bibles. We have you read the Word of God with us. We stand together, and then I'll pray, and then we'll begin preaching. But I always encourage you, when I pray, please pray. And the most important prayer that you can pray after we've read the Bible is a prayer something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm here. And dear God, I believe that you've given my pastor what I need to hear. Lord, there's something in this message, maybe several somethings, that I need to be reminded of or I need to learn. Please, God, don't let me miss it. Holy Spirit, please speak to my heart and show me what you have for me. And you know, you bring that kind of attitude to a sermon, God's going to talk to you. God's going to speak to you. You know, pass me not. I love this. I say it a lot. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I've been in some services in my life where it seems like everybody was touched and helped and moved, at least the vast majority of the people, by a sermon. And it just seems like nothing happened in my heart. And it scares me when that happens. I think to myself, you know, why is the Lord so freely working in the church and amongst some people's heart, but I can just sit here week in and week out, and it seems like the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, has very little or no effect in my life. Now, folks, it's the same sermon. It's the same Bible. Same Holy Spirit's indwelling you. And so I think sometimes what we need to do is reconstruct our attitude towards preaching. And now let me say this also. Respond properly to the preaching. So recommit to the faithfulness to be here to hear preaching. Reconstruct your attitude towards preaching. And then respond properly to the preaching. Let me give you a great, great goal for 2011. Look up here and listen to me. Hear your preacher. Let me give you a great goal. Ask the Lord to help you to reacquaint yourself with an old-fashioned altar. Ask the Lord to help you to reacquaint yourself with an old-fashioned altar. Just decide that, you know what, I'm going to start being responsive to preaching. I appreciate the amens I'm hearing tonight. I will tell you this, and it's my job to observe these things, my job to say it from time to time. Folks, we're guys, especially gentlemen, we're just falling off on this amen stuff. We just are. And you say, well, I've never said it. Well, you can start in 2011. It's a biblical thing. It's a right thing. It's a good thing. It means something. It doesn't mean you have to amen after every sentence I say. But from time to time, men, when you know, take the leadership in this. And let people know, you know what, I want to hear this. Preacher, we need to hear this. And preacher, that's good, that's right. You're not doing it for me, you're doing it to help the church service. Visitors have come sometimes, and I've preached my heart out, and I mean, it's just dead as a doornail in here. And you know what, if y'all aren't excited about what the preacher's saying, why should somebody coming in here feel excited about what the preacher, why should they pay attention? It looks like no one else is paying attention. And you know, I wouldn't want to come to a dead church. If I was out looking for a new church, I wouldn't want to come to a dead church. Well, folks, don't make it a dead church. And so I'm exhorting you here a little bit. We need to step up in this area a little bit. And so, you know, get over that stubbornness. Well, I haven't said amen in church for 20 years, and I ain't saying it for the next 20. Well, shame on you. Because your preacher's asking for your help right now. Your preacher's exhorting you, and he's asking you to step up in this matter and help the church service, help the spirit of the church service. And so listen to what I'm saying, okay? Because it does make a difference. It makes a difference in the service. So you respond. You respond during the message. You respond after the message as the Holy Spirit prompts you. Now, folks, I don't keep score. I never gauge the success of a message over how many people do or don't come to the altar. To me, the success of the message has already been decided when I walk out of the office to come to the pulpit. Because have I studied and have I prepared and do I have the mind of God and do I have the message God wants me to preach? If I go up here and I deliver it, then folks, it's a success before God. I'm successful before God because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what? It's not a matter of is it a successful sermon in its delivery. I think sometimes God says, is it a success in the response of the people that are hearing it? You can make it a success in your life, or you can make it a failure in your life. But be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And again, I'm not saying that say amen after every sentence. I'm not saying that you're a bad person if you don't come to the altar after every message. But I do know, and I do have enough of a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God to know that in a Christian that is hungry for God's help and God's guidance and God's leading, and yes, even God's conviction, that I cannot go to preaching services very long without God stirring my heart with some truths that drive me from time to time to an altar prayer. Now, I'm talking about some of you old mossy back Baptists. Okay? I'm talking some of you veteran Christians. It shouldn't just be new converts hitting the altar. It shouldn't just be teenagers hitting the altar. God help us. It shouldn't be just children hitting the altar. God help us on that. What are we showing them? Well, that's fine for you, but when you get older and mature,
come on, preacher,
then you sit back here like a dead doornail, like an old rotten stump, and you just grunt and look at your watch during the sermon. And then, look around during the invitation to see if any sinners needed what was being... Hey, you're a sinner. Hey, you're a sinner. Shame on you. You're a sinner. You know, you ought to come to an altar tonight and confess your sin of not coming to an altar. Well, our preacher, if nothing else. Come on now. Amen. You don't follow me around when I'm not here. And most of you don't see me when I'm somewhere else listening to preaching. But I will tell you this. Most of the time, after the preaching of God's word, your preacher's on his knees at an altar. You know why? Because I come looking for God to work in my heart. I'm hungry for God to work in my heart. I decided a long time ago. Listen, I went through my battle with the Holy Spirit. I went through my time of ignoring the Holy Spirit's leading in my life. I went through a time where the Holy Spirit got quiet in my life. I don't want to go back there. I want the Holy Spirit to just whisper something, and boom, Jerry Ross does it. I want him to know all I got to do is just whisper. And you know what? Whatever I tell him to do in response to the preaching, he'll do it. And if you develop that kind of a heart, I've had a little fun here tonight, but I'm serious about this. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're not going to see the miracles in a new year. We need to see it. If we just turn into an old, dead, denominational type church with a bunch of plastic Christians that come in here, plop down, and put in their time for another year under the preaching of God's word, and don't let the Holy Spirit do something dynamic and meaningful and new in our lives. And so I'm going to keep doing my job.
Amen.
I want you all to start letting the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Okay, so plan now to hear the Bible preached faithfully. Plan now, number three, to meditate on the Bible daily. Now go to Psalms chapter 1. We've been in Joshua. Now I want to go to Psalms chapter 1. And I want to read again a very familiar portion of Scripture. And a lot of times when we read and preach from a reference, familiar portions of Scripture, if you're not careful and you've heard a lot of preaching, it's easy just to phase it out. But I'd like you to look at it with brand new eyes, preparing for a brand new year. Folks, listen to me. This psalm that God has chosen to open the book of Psalms is so important. You think about this. Why did God put Psalm 1 as Psalm 1? Because if you get Psalm 1 and you do what Psalm 1 teaches, then Psalm 2 is going to help you, and Psalm 3 is going to help you, and the 4th Psalm is going to help you, and the 5th Psalm is going to help you. If you don't do Psalm 1, you can read the whole book of Psalm. You can read all 176 verses of Psalm 119. It won't help you a bit if you don't do what's in the first one. Here it is, this importance of meditating on the Bible. Meditating on the Bible. Notice what it says here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now here's the result. And he shall be. Who? Who's he? The person that says, I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The person that says, I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. The person that says, I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. The person that says, you know what, I'm going to delight in the law of the Lord, and I'm going to meditate in it day and night. Now, what's the result of that? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so here again, you want to have a successful new year. Folks, look at this. Let me just give you some thoughts. Can I outline this real quickly for you? You show me a group of Christians, or show me one Christian that gets this. And they have these character traits. They become socially or culturally separated. Now, what's that mean? That means, you know what? You're not interested in running around with a bunch of ungodly, worldly people and pick up everything that they have to say and the direction they want to go and the way they want to be. You know what? I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't care what advice they have. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. Wherever the sinners are hanging out, I'm not going to be there. Okay? I'm going to separate myself. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, one of the most important lessons, maybe we ought to preach on this sometime soon, one of the most important lessons you can learn is how to identify a scorner. Because if you don't know how to identify one, next thing you know, you can be sitting right beside one, and pretty soon you'll become one. You'll become one. But you just separate yourself from that. Now, not only that are you socially separated, you're scripturally saturated. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice this. It's not something you do 5 minutes a day. You say, preacher, okay, I'm going to sign up for that. I will read my Bible 5 pages a day. And you said 12 to 15 minutes. Hallelujah. I'll give God 12 to 15 minutes. Well, that's how long it takes to read. But you're supposed to meditate in what you read day and night. You see, folks, one of the reasons that it's so important to have an ink pen and underline those verses and have some 3x5 cards ready. I can't tell you how many sermons have been preached from this pulpit. You say, preacher, where do you get your sermon ideas? Most of my sermon ideas come from my daily devotions. You know, I don't go to the websites that have sermon outlines. There's been a few desperate moments, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, when I was searching frantically for those websites, but I can't. It's just so hard for me. I don't know how the rest of you preachers do, but when I take one of those canned things, I just never can make it work. I wish I could. It just for whatever reason, and the other guy preach it, and it's fine, and I try it, and I'm just like, I don't know. But you know what? I'm looking, and if I don't understand something or something God speaks to my heart about, jot that verse down on 3x5 cards, stick it in your pocket, and take it with you that day. Amen. And you know what? You've got something to meditate on. You've got something to think about. You've got some scripture to look at. Hey, this is something I got this morning, and I'm not even sure what God was trying to say, but all I know, I was drawn to this verse, or I didn't understand this. And all through the day, you look at it, and you listen. You know what it does? It protects your mind. Protects your mind. If you're thinking about the scriptures, you're not thinking about junk, you're not thinking about trash. You've got somewhere positive to focus your thought line. God looks down and says, here's a group of people, here's a person that separated themselves from the sinful world. They are scripturally saturated, and as a result, they become spiritually strong. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You think about that, folks. Some of you, you know, you ought to go outside, take a look at a tree, and just marvel at the amazing creation that God has made. Now, folks, we got some big old oak trees on our property. I used to have a bunch of them. We had some that got some disease in them, and we had to they start falling. That made me a little nervous, especially since they were surrounding our house. So I had to have some of them cut down, but we've saved two big old oak trees. I'm talking about ones where it take probably two people to reach around like that. Beautiful big old, you know, walk out there and just touch that thing. I'll tell you what, just go out there. I mean, even some of you big guys, you know, Shad and Michael, you guys line up, get in a three-point stance, charge that tree, and hit it with all you've got. And you know what? That tree isn't going down. You guys are going down. You know, put your helmet on first if you're going to do it. But are you getting this? You know, that ought to be what you are as a Christian. You know, it shouldn't be some dead little spindly thing whose roots are barely hanging on for dear life. You ought to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How does that happen? It happens. It happens with the Christian that decides, you know what? I've played games with this book long enough. It's time for me to get serious about this book. You know what? I'm gonna focus on this. 2011 is going to be the best year I've ever had with my relationship with the Word of God. I'm not just going to read it. I'm going to try to memorize some of it. I'm not just going to read it. I'm going to take it and meditate on it. I'm going to incorporate its truths into my life. I'm going to let it saturate my mind and my thinking. And you see, when you do this, you make these decisions socially separated. Until you distance yourself from the wrong crowd, you're never going to have a relationship with the Bible. Look right up here and let me say that again. I guarantee you that that's some of your problems. You will not have a strong relationship with this Bible until you cut some ties with some people that are dragging you down spiritually. Okay? Then you can become scripturally saturated. That makes you spiritually strong. Then you become powerfully productive. Notice what it says after that. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. All of a sudden you become fruitful in your Christian life. And then you become happy, happily healthy. And it says, his leaf also shall not wither. Can you tell the health of a tree just by looking at the leaves? Sure you can. Can you tell the health of a Christian by looking at their countenance? Sure you can. And all of a sudden, you know what? You're happy. You come to church and you're not an old grouch. You don't look like somebody sent you to the principal's office because you're sitting here on a Wednesday night service. You know, all of a sudden, things of the Lord, they're fine. Your leaves don't wither. You know, you're healthy, spiritually sound, supernaturally successful. And whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Just a nice little outline there. How does that happen? It happens when somebody begins to make some decisions. Now, get away from the counsel of the ungodly. Man alive, I can't make that decision for you. But some of you need to make that decision. Wait a minute. Who's got your text number? Who's got your cell phone number? And you know what? Every time they call, it's like spiritual poison being put in your ear. I don't know how to do it because I don't know anything about these things, but I will tell you this, you can block it. Isn't that right? Some of you didn't know. You know, I just start talking about cell phones. And God bless you. I don't even want to embarrass you, Sister Lou. It's happened to more than one person. I just appreciate the fact it didn't break into AC/DC like it. You know, I would always appreciate that from good Christian people when they're diving for their phone and, you know. Or the Christian brother or sister you call and it says, please enjoy the music while you wait for their call. And then they say, hello. And I said, it's the preacher. Oh. You ding dong. The God can hear it if I can't. You cared as much about what God thought as I did, you wouldn't have it on there. What are you doing? All right, okay. So everybody's thinking, when's the last time a preacher called my cell phone? But, you know, how do you... Listen, come on. Come on. Let's just decide that this book's important. I mean, you know what? If a bunch of men read it or wrote it, and it's not inspired, and it's not the Word of God, and this whole thing's a scam, and this is just one big con, then toss it in the lake. But if this is the inspired, very preserved words of God, then read it! And come listen to it preached. and meditate on it, think about it, let it start literally, I mean literally, taking over every single part of your being. Saturate your mind in it. And you know what? All of a sudden, all of your appetites will begin to change, and all of your thinking will begin to become transformed. You won't see things like you used to see it. Because I have said this for years, please listen to what I'm going to say. I think it is impossible for any man to have a regular, meaningful relationship with this book without it having a transforming effect in their lives. And so some of y'all that's been raised up in church, you know, you've been kind of riding along on the coattails of your parents' spirituality, and maybe you're of an age now, you know, if I'm talking about, we've got down in master's clubs up to sixth grade, but you know, even that age group, even that older group, it's time to just kind of start saying, but man, if you're in seventh, eighth grade, come on. If you're in high school, come on. It's time to say, you know what, it's about time for me to find out what's in this book. It's about time for it to start becoming alive in my life. Just dive into it. Just get into it. And meditate on it day and night. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll find out that to God will put a blessing upon you. Now, the last thing. Number one, plan now to read your Bible daily. Number two, plan now to hear the Bible preached faithfully. Number three, plan now to meditate on the Bible every day. Number four, plan now to live by the Bible in your everyday walk. Now, why do we go to all the trouble of reading and meditating and memorizing and coming to hear it preached? Well, why do we go to all that trouble if we're not going to do what it says? Remember I said and emphasized in Joshua that we may observe to do? I love that little phrase, that we may observe to do. Tonight, I hope you came to hear the Bible so that you could observe to do. Tomorrow morning, I hope you get up and read your Bible so you can observe to do. Tomorrow during the day, I hope you meditate on the things that God gives you in the morning so that you can observe to do. And James, we won't take the time to go there. I'm going to close it down. But he warns us about the dangers of becoming hearers only. That's the phrase in James, hearers only, not doers of the Word of God. And it's sad. I see young people that just get raised up under the Scriptures, and you know, if it's easy to do. I don't think they mean sometimes to even do it. But everything just kind of becomes old hat, and pretty soon the Word of God's being preached and pumped on a regular basis into their lives. But you know what? They don't listen, and they don't really absorb it. And if they do hear something, they have no intent really of changing or doing it or starting something or stopping something. They just kind of sit there and it just kind of bounces off of them. You know, the old phrase is like water off a duck's back, you know. And it's kind of like you've heard the joke, haven't you, about the preacher and the two deacons that went deer hunting. And a big old giant buck came out and all three of them blasted at the same time. The deer fell over dead. And all three of them, of course, excited and saying, wonder who shot it, wonder whose deer it is. So they went over there, and one of the deacons looked at it and said, this is a preacher's. The other deacon said, how do you know it's a preacher's bullet? He said, that bullet went through right in one ear and right out the other. Had to be the preacher's, you know. And if we're not careful, I don't think we mean to. But it's just, if we're not careful, we can just be right in the presence of God and near the power of God, hearing the Word of God. And if we're not careful, boy, we can go an entire year and really, really, hardly anything significant has changed in our lives. Well, that's sad. That's sad. So how do you prepare for a successful new year? I'm going to give you this thought. Let's take the month of December. Let's start here. And let's begin to make a positive plan, a proactive plan to integrate the Bible into every area of our life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to spend, Lord, preaching the Bible tonight, teaching the Bible principles. And Lord, I would have probably of all of the wishes that a preacher could have. Boy, if someone was just to nail me down and put me on the spot and say, preacher, come on. You can have one thing be true of everybody in your church. I mean, one thing, you can say it and it'll be true of every member of your church. I'm not sure that I could find anything better than to say, I would have every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church have a personal, real, vital, active relationship with the Word of God. Because Lord, if we do that, seems like almost every other thing tends to just fall in place. And Lord, all of a sudden we begin to think the way we ought to think and do the things we ought to do and drop the things we ought to drop, turn our back on the things we ought to turn our back on, and we become like that tree. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture is painted in Psalms 1. Thank you, God, for the Psalms. May it stir our hearts to want to be all we can be for you, we pray. In Jesus' name.